Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shriram Properties Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali, Chairman and Managing Director from Shriram Properties Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I would like to start by warmly welcoming our investors and analysts. Thank you for dedicating your valuable time to discuss our operational and financial performance. Earlier today, the board adopted the financials for Q1 FY25. We experienced modest growth in earnings and satisfactory operational performance despite the external challenges faced during the quarter. Before delving into the details of our financial performance, let me highlight the key operational achievements of the quarter. During the quarter, we recorded sales of 0.7 million sq ft and a sales value of over 376 crores. Our collections at 321 crores were up by 10% year-on-year. We also handed over 500 plus units. I wish to say that it has been a slow start to the year, but we remain optimistic and fully confident about full-year targets. The mid-market and mid-premium segments are gaining significant momentum, and the overall market trends are positive. Coupled with our robust operating platform and strong pipeline of projects, we are well positioned to capitalize on the industry's ongoing consolidation. I would like to ask now Gopal, our CEO, to briefly discuss the performance in detail with you. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have thereafter.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This is Gopal. I would like to briefly walk you through the performance, both operational and financial, for the next 30 minutes. For your information, the presentation that we are going to use is already on the website of the company and that of stock exchanges. I assume you all have access to it. So I'll refer page numbers from the presentation while I'm going through. Starting with page number two, as some of you are aware, perhaps, that Shriram Properties already entered into its 25th year of operation, and therefore we thought we'll spend a minute trying to just capture the journey that we have had. Though we have been a listed company for only 3 years, or less than 3 years, we wanted to just quickly give a snapshot of what we have moved across and where we stand today again as we celebrate our 25th year of operation. We have a very impressive demonstrated track record. The completed portfolio today comprises of 44 projects, 24 million square feet of development, and over 18,000 units of completed units given to the customers. Through the entire 25 years of journey, we have never had any stress or issue associated with our borrowings. So the spot-free credit profile that we have been able to earn gives us access to capital from our lending partners for our growth as well as operational needs. That's a big, strong strength that we have gained over the last several years. We have also been pioneers and also managed to get some successful partnerships with the marquee investors, both domestic and international, both at the project level as well as at the corporate level. So that gives us access to capital for co-investments and growth. More importantly, the impeccable track record that we created in terms of smooth entry by the investors as well as smooth exit by investors, which is sometimes a challenging one in this sector. Shriram has created a history of smooth entry as well as smooth exit, as some of you have noticed from our recent press releases. We have had exit of Mitsubishi as well as ASK from one of our projects very smoothly in a short period of time. That's an impeccable track record in this sector, and we believe that's a big strength for us. In recent years, we have actually transformed ourselves in terms of size, scale, and profitability. We have grown almost 4x in sales volume in the last, ever since the RERA came up. So less than 7 years, 4x growth in our volume from 1 million square feet to about 4.5 million square feet last year. That's a big transformation that we have gone through, and we have now fully set for our next phase of our transformation in terms of next leap of growth in terms of volume, which I will share during the presentation as well. We are professionally managed and we are focused on delivering excellence to both our customers as well as other stakeholders. Built on our group values of trust, transparency and governance, as well as relying on the reliability and relentless drive to pursue growth, have actually kept us moving. As we are standing at 25th year, we have 28,000 customers who have purchased units from us, and both completed as well as ongoing projects. That's a very big, large family that we have, and we are very proud of it. One last message on slide 3. As some of you are aware, we have been focused on affordable and mid-market for a quite long time. Given the transition in the marketplace post-COVID, we have been gradually intensifying or strengthening our focus on mid-market products. As you see here in slide 3, we have nearly 93% of our upcoming projects are in mid-market and mid-market premium segments. Even in the past, we had a very large share of mid-market products. 67% of our completed projects are in mid-market. 67% of our ongoing projects are in mid-market. And future, 93% of our upcoming projects are in the mid-market or mid-market premium segment. If you look at the slide 4, you will understand the reason why we are actually making this gradual shift in our focus. The market itself has been transitioning towards this end. Post-COVID, if you see, from the year 2000 onwards, we have seen a gradual increase of tilt towards mid-market products. Today, they account for nearly 60% of the market, whereas they used to account for a much larger, much smaller share of the overall volumes that get sold every quarter or every year. This gradual shift is more prominent in Bangalore and Chennai, and we believe that given our brand name and market positioning, this enhanced focus on mid-market will not only give us the growth to increase, scope for growth, but also scope for better for increased profitability in the coming years. With this backdrop, let me now try and go to the Q1 performance and Q1 results a little more in detail. To be candid and transparent, it has been a very slow start for the year. The sales performance for the first quarter has been muted, largely because of a couple of external factors, which I'll explain in a minute. As you are perhaps aware, in southern markets, Q1 is traditionally a weak quarter. On top of it, market had further softness on the back of election impact, where the customer's decision-making got prolonged, maybe the wait-and-watch approach taken by the customers amidst all the election fever, had some impact on customer closing. Customer walk-in continued to be healthy, but customer closing did not happen, and they are happening now. So which basically means that Q1 for sales actually suffered on account of election to some extent. Water scarcity in Bangalore had some impact. Unfortunately, the unseasonal flash rains, heavy rains in Chennai also had some impact. Combination of these, as well as the code of conduct related deferment of government approvals for projects, pushed us to launches as well in one of the cities. And as a result of all this, we have focused only on sustenance sales, which is the sales from the existing projects. And therefore, our sales volumes are restricted to about 0.7 million square feet. Healthy number, but we would have liked it to be much stronger like in the previous quarter. We believe we are on track now after all the election issues are over. The momentum has regained, and therefore we believe Q2 onwards we should see a fairly strong volume growth, and we remain the fundamentals are intact, and therefore we are confident of full year volumes which we have guided for 5.25 to 5.5 million. So I think we are confident of delivery. I will explain in subsequent slides why we say so. Moving to slide 7, the slide captures our overall financial performance. 210 crores of revenues, operating revenues, EBITDA of about 53.6 crores, PBT of about 27 crores, and PAT of 17 crores. You see the margin profile in slide 7. Very healthy margins comparable to what we have indicated as our long-term sustainable margin levels, which is 25% at EBITDA level and about 9 to 10% in the PAT level. Q1 income recognition was lower, and therefore the overall absolute numbers are a little low, primarily because we had an aggressive handover schedule in Q4. As you know, we handed over 1,600 units in Q4 alone. And therefore, the new projects coming under OC were very few this time, and therefore the residual unit from projects that got OC in November, December, January, February are the only projects that are getting handed over right now to customers. And that too, some of them are skewed towards legacy projects in Calcutta and Chennai and one in Bangalore. And therefore, the income recognition was a bit modest. 210 crore, I'll talk about the growth numbers in the subsequent slide. But suffice to say, a satisfactory financial performance for the quarter. Looking at slide 8, a bit more in operational details. As I said, muted sales, driven only by sustained activity. We were scheduled to launch our Pune project, which got deferred again due to approval-related delays. I'll explain that in subsequent slide. The deferred approvals, wait-and-watch strategy of customers ahead of the poll results and poll outcome and poll campaign and all that, impacted the overall momentum. But more importantly, the water scarcity in Bangalore and flash floods in Chennai seem to have had more prominent impact on customer decision making. Combination of this, we suffered in terms of growth in volume. Pune got deferred to Q2 or most likely Q3 now, primarily because MOEF, Government of India approval, which was supposed to come to us almost at the beginning of the quarter, did not come through because code of conduct got announced early. Most of the government machinery got slowed down or stopped. Therefore, we did not progress. MOEF first stage of approval has been received only in July. We believe the final approval of MOEF and PMC, the Pune Municipal Corporation approval, should come through only by September, somewhere in middle. We are at the full preparedness in terms of launching the project as soon as the approvals come through and RERA comes through. But we believe it is most likely going to be in October, if lucky, late September. So therefore, we are considering the Q3 launch. Having said that, we are sure we have 3 more launches in Chennai, Bangalore in Q2. And therefore, we will not suffer on volumes as a result of Pune, but it is a disappointment for us on this prolonged governmental delays, primarily the MOEF approval from Government of India, which has been dragging for almost like 3-4 months now. On the project execution, as I said earlier, we had handed over 500 units, but mostly from projects that have got OCs in Q4. No new projects are scheduled for OC in Q1 as well as Q2. So we will have increased momentum in earnings in handovers during Q3 and Q4. But we are confident of achieving our full year handover target of 3,600 units to our customers as compared to 3,000 last year. That should therefore help us having a reasonably good growth in income recognition in the entire year. And the quarter-to-quarter mismatches or quarter-to-quarter fluctuations will continue. We had a minor setback in labor front due to election issues. A lot of labor migration took place for a short term because people had to go back to their hometown for voting and all. But people are back now since mid-June to early July. We have got the ramp up of manpower back to our normal level. Construction activities are in full swing, and therefore we don't see this 15-20 days of interruption to impact our full year plan in any way. All our projects meant for handover in FY25 are on track, and we will be delivering them as per our plan in most cases ahead of RERA timelines. Moving to financial performance, our total revenues are up 34%. Revenue from operation, which means there is income recognition from handover of units, grew by 14%. Revenue from other operations have grown handsomely. Combination of these two, overall revenues are up 34%. Our other operating revenues primarily consist of land-related advances, income on those, or monetization of land or joint venture economic interest, and so on. Therefore, some of you had concerns around other income being high. Therefore, we decided to show the other income into breakup into what were the other operating income as well as what is the true other income. I hope you will be able to now consider the operating income more in a more transparent way we are disclosing it. I hope it will be helpful for some of you to consider this for our EBITDA margin calculations. Marginal growth in EBITDA, PBT, PAT, I'll explain that as we go to the financial slide. Cash flow front, things have been very strong. 115 crores of annual monthly run rate we have had in collection. Has been a very healthy quarter. We are on the ramp-up curve further. So Q2, Q3, we'll see further ramp-up in collection momentum. Overall, I think we are on target, definitely on target for a collection number as we guided to the market earlier. Overall, finance costs have come down by almost 19%. We will explain that as we go through the financial slide. Debt equity remains low at 0.37, one of the lowest levels in the sector. The last piece on the highlights is the business development and pipeline. Two new projects concluded. One JDA in North Bangalore, one project near Electronic City in Bangalore. Both together have an aggregate saleable area of about 0.78 million square feet with a gross development value of about 500 to 600 crores, most likely around 600 crores based on the current market conditions. As I said, Pune is deferred to Q3 most likely, if you are lucky, end of Q2. MOA clearance has progressed, but it is still 25 days away from receiving Pune PMC approval, Pune Municipal Corporation. And then it will take about some time for RERA for at least 2 to 3 weeks. And therefore, we think the earliest we can launch is in second half, in the end of Q2, otherwise Q3 beginning, which is October. Strong project pipeline. We do recognize our pipeline is around 42 million square feet with a 20 million square feet of potential new launches. 23 million square feet is our ongoing project. And we are working towards strengthening the pipeline further because at a 20% CAGR, we will still need to add a lot more pipeline over the next 18, 24 months, and we are working towards it. I'll explain that in subsequent slides. Shifting attention to the financial highlights on page 10, 11 consecutive quarters since we turned around. And modest growth in revenue, EBITDA, PBT, and net earnings. I'll explain that in subsequent pages. And one big strategic move happened this quarter was early exit to ASK in our joint investment called Shriram Pristine Estate, which is a plotted development project we invested a year and a half ago. It was the first investment under the co-investment platform. The project took off well, accelerated sales, expedited construction, generated a very strong cash flow, and as you know, ASK was equity, quasi-equity partner with a small coupon, and they will get a share of cash flows subject to a cap of 20% IRR for them on the based on the project cash flow. If there is no cash flow in the project, they were getting 13% coupon only. Because we were paying them, now the project is cash flow, they are rich, and we are paying them IRR, and therefore we opted to exit them early, and in that process it became a value accretive transaction for SPL as a whole because now it will become subsidiary instead of being a joint venture going forward. Finance cost, I said earlier, 20% drop. It's basically I'll explain the factors behind the finance cost. Last year base was much higher because of refinancing that was done to bring down the rates. There was a write-off of the processing fees and all. So with the reduced gross debt, with a lower base of a gross debt, very stable interest costs, the overall finance cost has been able to be brought down from 27 to 22 crores, as well as the unwinding effect, the non-cash charge that we every quarter carry because of Government of West Bengal royalty provision. That has also been lower now from 5 crore every quarter to about 4 crore now. Combination of these two, finance costs came down. So that kind of sums up the entire financial performance. Now I will try to walk you through respective slides with a bit more detail on the financials and cash flows. Shifting to slide 11. As I said, the revenue from handover of units to customers, the income from operation, grew by 14% based on the 500 units that we have handed over to customers at 154 crores. The other operating revenues primarily consist of ASK early exit-related gains for Shriram Properties because they exited halfway through and their 70% interest is more valuable than what we have paid to them now. And therefore, 80% interest of ASK, which we have exited them, as well as a few other entries into the other operating revenues from our landowner-related existing and old project landowner closures have all generated the pending revenues from those projects as a combination. And these are all not under accounting standards. They have to be classified as other operating revenues or other income. Therefore, you will see them clubbed together in other income in the past, as well as GT's limited review report. But for the purpose of analyst transparency and investor clarity, we are going forward, we will give you the breakup of other operating revenues and other income separately. Other income primarily consists of interest income for us. So overall, total revenues are up 34%. Cost of revenue was higher for three reasons. One, because we had some one in the cost of revenue, which includes some of the nearly completed project impairment activities from a legacy project in Bangalore, Sunkrest, which now almost entirely handed over. We had some impairment there in terms of costs. And we also had some non-performing revenues recognized in the past, and those BM revenues had to be written off or reversed. And therefore, between them, about 10 crores of one-time non-recurring charges are part of cost of revenue, as well as we had the impact of the portfolio mix. Since we are handing over all the legacy projects now, some of the legacy projects like Liberty Square in Bengaluru and Shriram Grand City in Kolkata, some of the low-margin products got income recognized to a substantial part of this quarter. And therefore, the cost of revenue growth is higher than the revenue from operation growth. And to that extent, partly it is one-off, but otherwise it is more of a legacy project coming for revenue recognition. And I think we are more or less done with most of the legacy projects in our entire portfolio now. Maybe a small impact in next quarter, and then we're done with all the new old projects, and therefore we think the margin profile will be more stable now going forward. The remaining part of the P&L, we don't see a very significant change. Employee benefit expense is only marginally higher, about 9-10% higher, primarily reflecting the provision that we have made for annual increments to the staff base, as well as part of the manpower, as far as strengthening the organization, we have added a few more new recruits compared to last year first quarter. They all came in October, November last year. But on a quarter-on-quarter basis, that growth seemed higher, gets reflected as a higher number, primarily because of these two factors. One, 8-9% routine increment is accounting for 8-9% of annual year-on-year increase. The remaining couple of basis points are primarily driven by headcount increase that we did when we revamped some of our existing functions. Like we added more manpower in sales marketing function. We added new leadership positions in sales marketing. All of those had some impact, but these are routine because it's meant for a 5.5 million organization, whereas we are income recognizing a small number, so it looks like as a percentage higher base. But fundamentally, on an annual basis, if you look at against 86 crore employee cost last year, we might be only about 10% higher for the year as a whole. Other expenses are not significantly higher, and these are associated with the marketing costs, channel partner commissions, and so on. So they are attributed to normal growth that we have seen in the business. So reflecting the low revenue from operation, higher cost of revenue, EBITDA remained almost flat at last year's level, 54 crores. Still a healthy number, considering the modest income recognition or a modest handovers that we have done this year, this quarter. But it's still a healthy number at 54 crores. Finance cost, as I said, is down 19%. Interest expense and other finance cost, which is a cash outflow from us, itself is about 20% lower at 22.8 crores. Unwinding effect I talked about earlier is related to Government of West Bengal royalty provision that we make every quarter and NPV change that we do, because we carry the liability in the balance sheet and we increase the NPV of that liability every quarter, so that when we are ready to pay Government of West Bengal, which we hope we will not pay because we are making progress on the resolution of the issue, but as a prudent measure, we are providing them. If once it is solved, then all of this will come back to balance sheet as a reversal of these numbers. So overall, therefore, PBT was good, 24 crores, but share of profit from JVs, partly two reasons there, partly because increased marketing expenditure by one of our JV, which was a new launch we did in Chennai last year. We had done a second part of the campaign during this quarter called Shriram 122 West, which we acquired from a landowner last year, and we launched it as a Shriram 122 West. The renewed campaign started during April, and therefore we had to absorb our share of marketing expense as a JV loss. That marks the impact of income from other JVs that we have, and therefore we had the share of JV being lower. As a result, the PBT announced was only 12% higher at 27.3 crores for the quarter as compared to 24 crore last year. Tax provisions are at about 9.8 crores as a provision that we made on the current PBT levels. As well, and the previous year, we had a lower tax outflow primarily because we had the deferred taxes which were there in the carried forward in the books had to be unwound. And also we had some provisions that were no longer required because our three-year window was over. As a combination of factors, year-end tax provision is very low. But for a 27 crore PBT forecast, PBT actual, we had estimated a tax expense, and therefore we made a provision of 9.8 crores, which is higher than last year. As a result, reported net profit is about 17.5 crores, only marginally higher than last year's first quarter. Having said that, I must clarify, we are on track. We had indicated some of the analyst research point towards over 100 crores of PAT in the current year. We believe we are on track for what the market is expecting, because we have 3,600 homes to be delivered. Only 500 has been delivered so far. A big momentum will come in Q3 and Q4 when these handovers come. Q2 will also be superior than Q1, but Q3 and Q4, you will see a big momentum in our handovers that should drive the full year reported earnings, and therefore we remain confident of delivering on market expectations, not just on the volume, but also on the financial performance. I'll now shift attention to slide 12 on cash flows. As I said, we had a robust cash flow, cash collections during the quarter. Chart on the right hand side will tell you that we had a 321 crores of collections between our own projects and JDA, as well as joint venture and DM. Out of this 321 crore collection, which is roughly about 110 crore average per month, and I think we are setting a higher annual monthly run rate as we go, as the quarters come by. So Q3 will be superior than Q1 monthly run rate, we believe, based on the project progress that we are seeing on the ground. So again, 321 crore, 156 crore belong to SPL's own share and JDA share. JV collections accounted for 100 crores. I'll explain what happened to that separately. But in this slide, on slide 12, it talks about Shriram consolidated financials and therefore excludes JV cash flows, and DM cash flow, of course, is excluded because we get only DM fee. We had a 30 crore cash from operations. Reasonably encouraging considering a modest or soft quarter that we had. And we repaid, net 27 crores of loans. So gross debt came down by 27 crore already. And we therefore used, including interest expense, we used about 48 crore from our kitty towards cash flow from financing activity. Therefore, free cash flow before new project investment was marginally negative at 18 crores. And we made, as I said, we acquired two projects. We said completed two project acquisitions, and there's one own project and one JDA project. We invested about 44 crore towards new project investments. And net-net, therefore, we used almost 60 crore from our cash and cash equivalent, which ended the quarter with about 128 crore of cash and cash equivalent with us. Next slide talks about, slide 13, talks about debt profile. It suffices to say that the gross debt has come down marginally from 631 to 610 between year-end to quarter-end. Since we used some cash from operating cash towards the repayment of loan on the new projects, our net debt has gone up marginally from 440 to 480, but debt equity remains reasonably low at 0.37, and we believe by end of the year, we will reach 0.25, 0.3 levels very comfortably based on cash from operation as well as cash from land monetization that we are working towards closure during the year. Cost of debt remains stable, and therefore, in sum, before I shift to my outlook, it's a soft start to a year. Volume-wise, we had a little bit of a disappointment, but we are confident of catching up on volumes as we go through the subsequent quarters with the new launches scheduled. I'll explain all the launches in the next slide. Revenue recognition will gain momentum with the passing quarters. Q2, Q3, Q4 will have a rising momentum in handovers and therefore rising momentum in income recognition. Fixed costs will remain almost unchanged from the current levels of Q1, and therefore, EBITDA margin profile will improve over the quarters even stronger. We remain confident and comfortable of delivering mid-20% EBITDA margin as we have consistently been indicating. Our PAT should also be stabilizing in the 9%-10% or 9%-11% at a PAT level. We are confident of these metrics as we go through for the full year. Just to highlight what we are seeing for the full year, as I just now said, we are confident of delivering on our commitment to the street on the KPI targets of 5.2-5.5 million sq ft of sales, 2,750 or 3,000 value, 1,700-1,800 crores of collection, and 3,300-3,600 crores of 600 units of handovers. So we remain, and our comfort comes from the fact that our launch readiness is there. If you look at the slide 16, tells you slide 16 tells just one minute. Yeah. Sorry, there's a slight sequencing issue. If you look at slide 19, it will tell you the launch preparedness. As I said, yes, we have had some disappointing delays in Pune. MoEF of Government of India approvals are awaited. First phase preliminary approvals came through long ago, so we had a confidence that we'll be able to launch that in Q4 last year, March. We're thinking of February-March launch. Got pushed to Q1. With the code of conduct coming in, the complete machinery came to a standstill. We have not received approval till end of the quarter. Actually, somewhere during last phase of June, we got the preliminary first stage of approval. The last stage of approval is scheduled for August, early September. And therefore, PMC approval and RERA, all this will come through only by end of September. And therefore, we are thinking most likely it will be Q3 launch. That is a disappointment for us compared to where we started. I think we underestimated or overestimated our ability to get through these approvals in a new market. I think we're a bit surprised negatively by the time taken by Pune as well as MoEF. In Bangalore, if this project was in Bangalore, this is because also because it's a 1.6 million sq ft project. Therefore, we need MoEF approval and from Government of India, and then the code of conduct gets filed for the entire journey. But all other projects under control, Shriram Serenity, which is the new project that we acquired in Q1 with approvals, is now getting ready for launch in Q2. It's in North Bangalore. Shriram Swargam, a project in Chennai, on track for launch in Q2. Shriram Symphony in Kolkata, it's almost started. Last week, we had the channel partner meet as well, so which is a pre-EOI project. So we are already moving ahead on Kolkata launch. So these three projects are on good speed and good standing. If Pune comes through, it will be a fourth launch in Q2. Otherwise, it will be the first launch of Q3. We have three other projects in Q3. And if Kolkata also, if the current launch is successful, then we'll have one more launch in Kolkata in Q3. And we have three launches in Q4 where the projects are under control. So I think we have a reasonably good outlook on the launch, except Pune where we have slipped a bit. But I think slide 16 tells you more granular details about the four launches that are targeted or planned for Q4. Slide 17 talks about some glimpses of launch preparedness work. These are the joint business plan, JBP, discussions with channel partners that we normally do before launch. With each channel partner, we have a target setting with them. So similarly, we had a launch campaign channel partner event at Kolkata. The right-hand side talks about the ads that are already launched in the digital media for our Chennai and Bangalore Chennai launch. And Shabdam, which is a Pune launch, we are fully prepared, including the digital campaigns. And as soon as the approvals come through, RERA comes through, we will kick off. So full preparedness is there for Pune as well. But the remaining three will provide volumes for Q2 because we are targeting for a much higher sales at launch compared to our conventional 30%-40%. Because last year, late last year, when we launched one project in Bangalore, we were able to sell 75% in the first week. We are trying for a similar performance in new launches. And therefore, we are thinking we should be able to have a robust volume in Q2 with the three launches coming up. Slide 18, very familiar to you, price launch, price trends. Price improvements are very modest this quarter, only 2%-3%, 2% or so. That's because market itself was soft. Customer walk-ins were happening. Customer closing was not happening. No developer could actually go up on the price curve. And I think it will grow in subsequent quarters with the demand recovery. I think demand has already bounced back. The customers have bounced back. The closings are happening now. So I think the market is back on track, should therefore see a good momentum in subsequent quarters. Slide 20, about the handovers that I talked about. These projects listed in slide 20 account for 2,600-2,700 units out of 3,500 units, 3,600 units that we want to hand over during the year. They're all in good shape, nearing completion, and OC process have already preparations have begun. So we are very confident of securing them and recognizing income from these new projects. Until such time, the ongoing project from last year's OC, last year's completion, will drive income recognition in Q2 and early part of Q3 as well. Last but one slide, we're talking about the slide number 21 on project pipeline. Project pipeline remains almost stable at 42 million sq ft, 24 million ongoing with the recent launches as well. And another 18 million sq ft is the upcoming pipeline for launches. And we do recognize the need for much larger addition over the next 12-18 months. Because we are confident and we are committed towards delivering a 20% growth in volume, which basically means 3 years from today, or FY 2027-2028, we would be in the 7.5-8 million sq ft of development. And which means over the next 30 months, 36 months, we should be selling somewhere around 15-17 million sq ft of volume. And therefore, we need to add another 15-18 million sq ft of pipeline over the next 18-24 months to have a robust launch capability. And therefore, the system is working over time to generate those new project pipelines. You will see that we have several projects in an advanced stage of negotiation. You will see them, you will hear them from us over the next couple of quarters. And you'll also see quarter-to-quarter improvement in pipeline as we go through the remainder of FY 2025. Last slide from me. Having said all the work in progress activities, I wanted to give you an outline of why we remain confident of our 2-3 years outlook. As you know, we have sold about 15 million sq ft in the last 4 years. out of which we have some projects ongoing, some projects are ongoing, some projects are completed. Ongoing projects alone, we are talking about somewhere around 19 million square feet of ongoing activity, of which our own projects are about 14 million in own and JDA. They will come for income recognition in our P&L, which means out of 12,000 homes that we will be handing over the next couple of years, over the next 3 years, the 3,500, 3,600 this year, and then rising curve over the next 2 to 3 financial years. These should therefore augur well for our income recognition over the next 3 years. And therefore, we see 70% of our income over the next 3 years will come from projects that we have already sold as of 31st March 2024. Execution, handover, and income recognition will be the focus area in these projects. And given that the projects are progressing well, we are confident that we will be able to demonstrate a reasonably robust income recognition in FY 25, 26, and 27. We are looking at adding this, as I said, here the potential to sale another 15 to 18 million square feet over 3 years, and they should also bring in, depending on the model, whether either they'll bring in a DM fee or in some cases, if it is a plotted development, income recognition within this period, or if it is in constructed apartments in the construction, then it might take a couple of years to show income recognition. So overall, sold inventory alone can bring in a reasonably strong growth in our earnings. We have about 5 million square feet to be sold from ongoing projects, 4.5 million square feet of inventory to be sold in ongoing projects. Combination of these two should give us a good boost to our income recognition in FY 25 and 26 and 27. On top of this, this new sales will add further strength. Therefore, we would like to reassure to the market, to the analysts and investors that we are on track to deliver continued growth in our top line, stable or improving EBITDA margins, and a reasonably robust PAT, at least in the 9 to 11% margin range in the coming years. Quarter-to-quarter volatility will continue, as you are all familiar with the business, but we are confident of delivering reasonably robust year-to-year growth over the next 3 years. With this, I'll stop, and I will request Mr. Murli, and I will join in responding to queries that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. So I have three questions. Firstly, sir, do we plan to enter Mumbai MMR region sometime in future?
Currently, there is no thought process. Now, currently, we are working on Pune. But as the market evolves, we will keep an eye on this and take a decision at appropriate time. Currently, we have entered Pune.
Okay, got it. So, just to highlight on the Pune thing, so when do we envisage the Pune market, and like by when do we plans like start monetizing from that region?
Yeah, so as I said in the presentation, it has been a little bit of a delay or a slippage because we underestimated the time required for completing this approval process, because our experience was based on Mumbai, Bangalore and Chennai. So this being a large project needed an MOEF approval, so it was we thought it will come through by March. I think it has consistently slipped for a variety of reasons, including what I said in the presentation about the code of conduct and all that. I think now MOEF is the first phase is done. The final approval is expected by end August, and then PMC approval and RERA will happen together. So we think if not end of September, In October, we will be hitting the market. And also, as you know, it's a monsoon time. We also thought there's no point in rushing in the midst of a monsoon in a new city where we didn't want to fight with the nature. So we thought October, September end, October, things would have been stabilized, and by then we think we will be ready. So Q3 will see a big push from us in terms of volumes there because it's a maiden project for us in entry, and therefore we would like to make it a big success just to reassure ourselves as well as reassure the market, the customers as well, not just the capital market. Reassure the local market that we are here as a permanent player, big player entering the market permanently.
Understood. That was helpful. So just to just to add on to that, so what can be the estimated cash flow from the Pune project?
Cash flow, I think it will be too early to think about. The first phase of launch that we are doing is about 0.6 million square feet, and therefore the current 0.69 to be precise. And FY25, we are looking at about 350, 400. If you look at the presentation, we have our expectations about 400,000 square foot of sales. So that's a meaningful start. And so initially, it's a 400,000 square foot sales in this year would probably mean about 250, 300 crores of sales value. And therefore, as you could see, we would look at primarily the cash flows would be restricted to 9.9 to start with, and then stabilize around 20 at some stage in current fiscal. And then when the construction gains momentum, then it will start coming. So we're talking about roughly about 20% of this cash flow coming in. And it will not generate a very large free cash flow because there will be a marketing cost associated with the launches and all that. So they will be able to, once we reach a meaningful share of our sales, then we'll start the construction and then we'll go full hog. Because now we have spent enough time in understanding the land parcel. So I think construction planning is also ready. So it can get, once we get a sales visibility, I think then we'll kick off. As you know, most developers will have a break-even number, a threshold number for starting construction on the ground. And we follow that in Bangalore as well. Roughly about 30% sales should happen before we start a resi construction, so that the construction funding requirements are minimized. Somewhat similar formula will apply based on the local market conditions, but we will apply a threshold before we start the construction. But overall, this is the cash flow outlook, 20% of sales value.
Understood. That's great to know. So last question from my side. So any plans on venturing into luxury segment, considering the demand for luxury segment has been increasing across major cities and at a pan-India level?
So I think glad that you asked the question and gives me an opportunity to clarify what I started the presentation with. So we would like to, over the next 2 to 3 years, we are trying to focus predominantly on mid-market and mid-market premium segment. And not that we will shy away from other projects, but the share of the other segment projects will be relatively small. If you have noticed in slide 4, we have a very small portion of luxury and others in each phase of our life. Completed portfolio also, we had about 7 to 10%, right? And these are one-off kind of, for example, last year we acquired a project in Kormangala, and that's a ticket size which clearly falls in luxury trend, right? 2 crore plus kind of ticket size. Very few projects we do in the segment. So we believe mid-market and mid-market premium alone offers a very large potential even today. Even after all the consolidation ongoing consolidation, there's a huge upside for us. And I think as a company, we would like to capitalize on that further, which not only upgrades the portfolio and gives us an opportunity for further ramp up in volume, but also we believe it will give us a sustainable, better margin profile going forward.
Got it, sir. That was helpful. Thank you so much for the elaborative answer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Karan Mehra from Mehta Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what are our long-term prospects and where do we see SPL 3 years down the line?
Sir, your question is not clear.
Long-term prospect is where does SPLC itself long-term?
So long-term, we'll continue to be in the mid-market and premium mid-market segment next 3 years time. And in terms of growth, we are looking at 25% CAGR for next 3 years time. We'll continue to focus on our core markets like Bangalore, Chennai, and Pune now. Of course, Calcutta, we'll look at how to monetize the rest, which we have been working on that. So we are looking at steady growth in the next 3 years time, and we'll continue to be more profitable in the next 3 years period.
Understood. Sir, and what would be the total cash flow that we are anticipating from the projects that are already in the pipeline?
So, next 3 years outlook, if I can say, that will be more, I can give you the more conviction. As you may recall, we have been consistently saying from 2022 onwards that we will generate 350 crores for a 3 year period. I think 2 years are gone. We've done about 225 crores of cash has been unlocked, if you have seen the last year full year presentation. So another 100 crore from that old phase that we thought of in FY25 should come through. So if I rework this number from FY25, 26, 27 perspective, we expect another 300 crores of capital can be unlocked from the projects that are on ground. This is the free cash flow that we think, this is the 3 year outlook that we have. About roughly about 300 crores of free cash flow can be generated. And this, my colleague is just pointing out that this is after considering certain assumptions on how much project investments that we'll make.
Understood. Sir, that answers my question. I will fall back in the queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prisha from NM Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. How was the demand scenario overall during the quarter, considering there was a situation of oversupply? Are we seeing any improvement in demand?
Yeah, there is no oversupply. As I said in the presentation, there were external factors that I alluded to, right? There was a wait and watch approach by customers for an unexplainable reason, right? The election and wait and watch was not relatable to us. But we generally saw the trend. We saw that similar trend across in Bangalore and Chennai market. And if I look at the reported numbers of various real estate players pan-India, looks like that softness in the market continued pan-India. So it has something to do with the customer's wait and watch approach ahead of the election outcome. Southern market suffered for two reasons as well, additional. One was the water scarcity issue in Bangalore. From March, April, all the way till about May end, there was a severe water shortage and that became a headline. And that kind of concerns people. So customers were inquiring more about when we visit the project. There are a lot of footfalls happening, people visiting the project. But the customer decision making was not happening. Meaning closure was not happening. They were not committing and paying advance. They're saying, we'll think about it and come back. So that kind of softness was there in the market. It was nothing to do with the oversupply. In fact, the supplies were very minimal. Because of code of conduct and other reasons, not many people got approval for launches. The project approvals didn't come through. Therefore, there was no question of new big supplies coming in. At least in Bangalore, Chennai market, we didn't see a big supply. And if I look at the competition, right, that this is a similar trend everybody has seen, right? If you look at other than Godrej, and I'm sure all of you have seen all the competitors, other than Godrej and Oberoi was a very small base, 0.1 to 0.2, right? Everybody else had a decline, negative growth in Q1 in terms of volume, which clearly showed that the industry as a whole was witnessing this unique circumstances, maybe once in a year phenomena because of election, but people did slow down. South suffered because of this water scarcity in Bangalore, surplus in Chennai, excess rains in Chennai. But the markets have now come back, right? We are now seeing good, healthy footfalls, healthy closure trends. And we have seen, in fact, the marketing guys have had a very encouraging response to pre-EOIR, the market seeding activities, where you call the channel partners, they bring some customers. We opened the preliminary activities in Kolkata last week, as you have seen the slide in our deck, which talks about our pre-launch activities that we have commenced. So all of these trends are like slide number 17 shows you that. Shriram Serenity in Bangalore and Symphony in Kolkata both had very attractive, very encouraging response from customers and the channel partners. So therefore, market is strong. It's just a temporary setback in one quarter, but I think it's now come back. Therefore, we should see a very healthy trend in subsequent quarters. Also, lastly, the festive season, the auspicious period has just commenced in South. Actually, it is true for even Mumbai. But I'm just we can speak more confidently about the auspicious months in southern part of the country. Both Tamil Nadu and Karnataka have some inauspicious periods. All that got over by August 12th or 11th. So basically, last week was the end of inauspicious period. Whatever the period you call, we call it Ashada in Karnataka and Adi in Tamil Nadu. These months people don't do any new purchases. So I think now we are entering the new season, the seasonally favorable part of the year. And therefore, I think we will see a good momentum now. Be assured.
Okay. Understood, sir. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Understood, sir. And my second question is, by when do we expect to unlock the value from Kolkata land parcel? What is causing the delay?
Kolkata is, again, like that MOU of fees, right? It's slightly difficult to predict. But we see an incremental progress with every month. Unfortunately, the whole progress got stalled when the code of conduct came into being in March. But the talks have resumed. So there is a delay. The delay is having two impacts for us. One, the delay is cost to buy. Ongoing negotiations or the closure activities with the government of West Bengal. As a result, we are not able to conclude the logos transaction and we are not concluding the new launches. We are not seeking any further approval for new launches. And therefore, multi-pronged impact on Shriram in that sense. Having said that, the project, the negotiation with the government of West Bengal is nearly complete. Why is it important for us? It's important because it's a 240 to 250 crore worth of liability. 4% royalty is an issue, right? We are challenging that and then we are now negotiating to amicably close it. And therefore, we have 240 to 250 crore worth of decision in Shriram balance sheet. It can have a very significant positive cash flow impact. It may not have a P&L impact, but it will be a big cash flow impact because these amounts need not to be paid to the government. So we're working towards resolving that. Therefore, we are willing to take a few quarters of delay because NPV-wise, it doesn't make a big difference because they are saving 250 crores somewhere as a company. I think we are at the last leg. We are hopeful and we are reasonably confident that before December, this will get solved. And therefore, we will see a big traction on the West Bengal monetization in Q4, which we believe. And based on the current indication that we have from the government. The second part of the monetization was with what we spoke was the Chennai Mall land monetization. As you know, any of this monetization when we start, it takes some time. We started this effort late last year. I think we are very close to last phase of our negotiation and completion. A couple of prospects have been negotiated. I think we'll land on one way or the other with either of the opportunities to monetize our retail mall land, which is an approved land for with a plan approval for a retail mall. That land monetization should happen again in FY25, most likely Q2 or Q3.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you for the detailed answer and all the best.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking time off to attend our call and hear and listen to our story. and I hope you got some insight about our performance. Despite being evening before long weekend, you all took time off to join us. Thank you once again. And we would like to offer any further interaction you would like to have when you are back in office next week. Me and my colleagues are always available to take your queries and respond and get on a conference call to explain you our perspective on any queries that you may have. Please feel free to contact us or SGA for any conversational requirements. Thank you and have a great long weekend.
On behalf of Shriram Properties, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.